Let's read together John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. Now, in these verses, we have one of the strongest arguments in Scripture for the eternal security of the believer. John chapter 10, verse 22. Now, it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Okay, once again, a few background notes, first of all. In verse 22, we read, "Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter." From chapter 7, right up until this point in chapter 10, the events were all around the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's in the fall of the year. Now, beginning with verse 22 here in chapter 10, the time is almost 2 months later. It is winter in Jerusalem, and the Feast of Dedication is being celebrated. Now, you may not have realized that they do have winter in the Holy Land, but they do. Certainly not like the winters here in New England. But it does snow occasionally in Jerusalem. In fact, it is on record that it has snowed in Jericho, which is one of the lowest and warmest cities in the world. Now, the Feast of Dedication that's mentioned here, this celebrated the cleansing of the temple, which took place in the 2nd century BC, at the time of the Maccabees. It's also known as the Feast of Lights, or Hanukkah. It's the only place in the Bible where this feast is mentioned. In verse 23, we read that Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Now, Solomon's porch was like a Greek stoa, or covered walkway on the east side of the temple complex. Now, don't get the idea that this goes back to Solomon's time. Solomon's temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. This was part of Herod's temple, but this structure was called Solomon's porch. And it was a place where the people gathered to listen to religious discussions. And it's here that the Lord addressed the Jews once again. They wanted Jesus to declare plainly that he was the Messiah. And the Lord said that he did tell them plainly, but they wouldn't believe. And furthermore, Jesus said, you know, "How much more evidence do you want?" Verse 25, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Well, that brings us to our doctrinal points for today, or teaching points from this section. Doctrinal point number one, those who are not sheep do not believe because they are not sheep. Those who are not sheep do not believe because they are not sheep. Now that sounds like double talk at first, but that's essentially what Jesus told the unbelieving Jews in verse 26. Let's read that again. "But you do not believe because you are not my sheep." Notice what he did not say. The Lord did not say, "You are not my sheep because you do not believe." That was true enough. But the Lord said, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep." We definitely have here an indication of the sovereignty of God in calling a person to salvation. We're saved because God chose us. Now, the Bible also teaches that a person is responsible to come to God for salvation. God sovereignly chooses us, but at the same time, we have a responsibility to choose God. Both points are true, and they are not contradictory truths. How they harmonize is beyond our finite comprehension, but they don't contradict one another. The Bible does not say in one place, God chose us, and in another place, God did not choose us. That would be a contradiction. Or the Bible say in one place, you're responsible to choose God. In another place, you're not responsible to choose God. That would be a logical contradiction. But you don't have that in the Bible. But you do have that God chose us, but also that we have a responsibility to choose God. That is not a logical contradiction. It is beyond our finite comprehension. But we don't have infinite minds. So it's not a contradiction beyond our finite comprehension, but definitely taught in Scripture. Both of these truths are seen side by side back in John chapter 6 and verse 37. Let me read that once again. John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. There's the sovereignty of God's side. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. The one who comes to me. There you have the responsibility of man's side. So I think there in that one verse, you have both of these truths side by side. They're not contradictory. And here in verse 26 of John 10, the sovereignty of God aspect of salvation is in view. Let's read the verse once again. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Those who are not sheep do not believe because they are not sheep. Doctrinal point number two. The eternal security of the sheep lies in the strength of the shepherd and not in the weakness of the sheep. The eternal security of the sheep lies in the strength of the shepherd and not in the weakness of the sheep. One more time, verses 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. These are some of the greatest verses in the Bible teaching the eternal security of the believer. That is, once you are one of Christ's sheep, you are in his flock forever. You can't lose your salvation if you're saved. Notice the first clause of verse 28. I give them eternal life. If you're a believer, you have eternal life. Not you will have eternal life when you die. You have it now. Now, if you have eternal life now, you have it eternally. It's eternal life. Second clause of verse 28. And they shall never perish. You may backslide, but you will never perish. Very strong in the Greek language. They will indeed not ever perish. And the third clause of verse 28. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Also verse 29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. No person can take you out of the Lord's hands. Satan can't take you out of the Lord's hands. You can't fall out of the Lord's hands. You can't jump out of the Lord's hands. The Lord in no way has exception clauses in his mind when he said that his sheep are safe in his hands. The eternal security of the sheep lies in the strength of the shepherd and not in the weakness of the sheep. Doctrinal point number three. The Father and the Son are distinct persons of the one true God. The Father and the Son are distinct persons of the one true God. Verse 30, the Lord said, I and my Father are one. Now, what did the Lord mean by that statement? I and my Father are one. Certainly, he meant that he and the Father were one in mind, and one in purpose, and one in action, and one in power, etc., etc. But the fact that the Jews took up stones to stone him in verse 31 would strongly indicate that they saw this statement as another claim to deity. That is, I and my Father are one, not only in mind and purpose and action and power and so forth, but one in essence or nature. Now, that's certainly what the Bible teaches. This involves, of course, the doctrine of the Trinity. The Father is fully God and yet a distinct person of the one true God. The Son is fully God and yet a distinct person of the one true God. And the Holy Spirit is fully God and yet a distinct person of the one true God. Not three gods, one God. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not three modes of the one true God. That's heresy. No, they are three distinct persons in the one true God, in the Godhead. That's Orthodox theology. God is one in essence, but three in persons. So verse 30 once again, I and my Father are one. The Father and the Son are distinct persons of the one true God. So, practical application from this section of John 10. Do you have the Good Hands life insurance policy? Do you have the Good Hands life insurance policy? Now, as you know, there's a major insurance company that advertises you are in good hands with our company, right? Well, those good hands are not perfect. In fact, some people have fallen out or jumped out of those imperfect hands. But here in verses 28 and 29, we read of perfect hands, the hands of the Lord Jesus and the hands of the Father. If you're in those hands, you're really in good hands. You're safe and secure forever. Those hands will never drop you. You ever been dropped by an insurance company? Those hands will never drop you. As Colossians 3, verse 3 says, your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's pretty secure. Do you have the Good Hands life insurance policy? Now, there's always the possibility that you've never invested in the Good Hands life insurance policy. Maybe you're still trusting in a life insurance policy of your own making. No one is born with the Good Hands life insurance policy. You become an owner by accepting Christ as your personal Savior. Do you have the Good Hands life insurance policy?